Quick recap. Last week, we talked about the idea of renewal. And I talked about three kind of key areas where sometimes we as humans struggle a little bit with that renewal. And the first point I talked about was our reading of the Bible. And I talked about how it is the living word of God, yet sometimes we read it as just another book. We read it as a book to check off so we get a medal at the end of the year from Pastor Judy. We check it off as, you know, I'm spiritual. Look at my year reading plan. I'm awesome. But we needed to look at it as something living and active, something that speaks into our lives, you know, daily or however as much we read it, that God is speaking to us through that. And it's amazing. It's more sometimes than we give it credit, and it can renew our spirit when we feel dry. And then we talked about the idea of prayer and how sometimes we just pray to say that we're good Christians, and we pray to get through a list or checklist of things for our family or for ourselves. It's almost like a want list, and we talked about that and how we needed to kind of change our idea, our thinking on prayer, that it is no longer a rut that we walk in, but rather it is a daily zigzag. It's a daily down on your knees or up on your feet or scrubbing the toilet or vacuuming. You're constantly praying about God to change and renew yourself to see Him moving in your life more. And then it brought us to the third point of testimonies. And I was talking about how I'm taking a class on Pentecostal history, and one of the guys who kind of started the Azusa Street Revival in 1906 was a guy who just walked into a room and said, we're going to follow the Holy Spirit. We're going to see where He leads us, and started off with prayer. And from there, it could lead into testimonies of what God is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing. And it just, it's amazing. And I thought testimonies is such an amazing thing, and we don't give it enough credit. We don't see ourselves as living examples of what God is doing, because we expect a testimony to be something huge, something, you know, my leg was broken and bam, I prayed and God healed it, or you know, I prayed for someone else to be healed and they were healed instantly. And that's how we view testimonies, as something huge. But then I began to say that testimony is pebble size as well. And pebble size can mean that God spoke to you through a verse and you had a clear understanding of what He was trying to tell you. That's a testimony, because God did something in your life. It could be that God helped me through a relationship or a certain circumstance that I was going through, and He gave me the peace that I needed or the calmness to get through it. It's a God moment, a God moving in your life. And I think that we should not be ashamed. We should not be scared to say what God is doing in our lives. And I know sometimes it can be really scary talking about that in front of people. But something about people talking about testimonies in front of others, it gives us encouragement. It's like, wow, I didn't know that God was moving this much. Like, maybe if 10 people stood up and said what God was doing, I'd be like, whoa, okay, I didn't realize God was moving as much as He was. And so, as I did last week, this is the opportunity. Yes, Dustin. Yeah, I like it. Amen on that. I like that. And he started it off. Dustin started it off. Last week, I gave the opportunity to give a testimony. And I explained it could be something small, it could be something big, it could be something... I know, that's why it's awesome, right? And so I have the opportunity to give you, well, I don't have the opportunity, you have the opportunity. If you guys would like, I'm going to give a little bit of time right now. If you have something that God has done that you want to share, I would love for you guys to share. But if no one stands up, no one shares, then I'll continue on. Amen. Yes. Oh, that is so good. Amen. Awesome. Does that spur anyone else? Anyone else would like to share a testimony? Yeah, surely. So good. Love it. Yeah. Amen. Anyone else like to share before we move on? Yeah. Amen. God sending people to help. Anyone else before we go? Okay. We have two over here. One of you guys, yeah.
I research church that are here in Wainwright and choose this one to attend. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome indeed.
I would like to share this story. In 2013, electronics to my car. I have one of those big old school bubble TVs.
Yeah, moving on, right?
All in the back, all jammed in there and whatever, things like that. My car lost control when I hit the snowdrift, and I rolled off into the ditch. I was trying to control it once I realized I had lost control, realizing that, okay, I'm not in control of this car no more, so just brace myself and let God take over. So that's what I did. I don't know, I'm a daredevil. Well, back in the day, I used to go to fairgrounds and go to those crazy rides and stuff like that. So this one. Once I had let go of control and let God take over, just hang on, brace myself, God took over, the car did its thing, and flips and rolls and slides and all that, et cetera. The car was upside down, I was pointing the other direction, and here I am, I stepped out of the car.
Wow.
Someone was behind me traveling in the U-Haul, went right on by. I'm trying to get my cell phone, hey,
yeah.
I'm in the
Don't leave.
You know? And it said, no signal. I said, oh God. So I put the window down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
As well too. It was still running and everything. I didn't know that I should have shut it off. I could have blew up and all that. Everything was still going.
Yeah.
Whatever. I was upside down, hanging there, and all that. And he came, and I had the window a little bit open, and he looked through the window, like as he was trying to come to me, and he went in front of the car. He ended up with a cut. I'm the one that was an and he had a cut as he was trying to come around to the driver's side, and with a little crack in the window, he looks in. Like I saw an angel, is what he said to me. And this is my ex-husband, but we're still able to be civil with one another and be friends, and we help each other out along the way as we can, and all that sort of stuff. So that's one of my stories. And so God is awesome.
Yeah, amen. So good. Yeah. Totally.
He is light.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Amen. Love it. More?
Okay. So, I work in a daycare, and I get to deal with kids from about 18 months to about 5 years of age. And I'm the cook in the daycare, and I've taken the older kids and I've started cooking with them in the kitchen with me. And there's this one girl who, when she first met me, she told me she didn't like me. She was dancing to the music we were listening to while, like, mixing stuff, and God was just kind of speaking to me, and he was just like, you need to act like in the same way she does. You need to find that joy in the simple things. And so it was just kind of a blessing moment that God gave me just through the tiniest little child. So.
Amen. Is there anyone else? Yes, sorry. Get my attention.
I just want to thank everybody that has been praying for me. As most of you know, I had heart surgery recently. It was totally a surprise to even find out that I had anything wrong with my heart. So that was truly a miracle how that was discovered. And so anyway, I had 8 blockages in my heart. And some of them were 90, 80, anyway, they're quite extensive blockages. And it was discovered just through a stress test at the hospital that was just a series of things to find out why I wasn't 100% like I like to think I am. In my health. And anyway, so it was discovered that I had these. I went for the stent shortly after that. Like, everything just happened so quickly, and it was such a peaceful time for me. I never was worried one bit about anything, and I know that was God working in my life.
Amen on that.
Anyway, I had the stents. I had 4 blockages opened up with 3 stents, and I was out of the hospital that same day.
Wow.
All my kids have been going strong ever since.
Oh, amen. That's so good.
Truly, you do serve a wonderful God.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful I met him with a standard
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to suggest that you don't know where to turn. There's a Gideon Bible.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I think we should all have one of those Bibles. And look, tells you where to turn. You can scurry, your friends fed, you're lonely, can't sleep. Every situation you've ever touched in life is in there. And if you want one of those, I got one for you.
Perfect.
I would have a little rest. So I stretched out there and had a rest. And Steve comes to our church here. Squires, he comes and rings the doorbell. He came up. And I couldn't get up. And so finally I got up, but I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk forward, but I couldn't go backwards. Dragging this leg here and go backwards. So anyway, we phoned Graham. Well, maybe better get to the emergency, so we went to the hospital, and I got a shot in my little hip here, and a few pills kill the pain, and so dragged myself back out of the hospital, back up into the car, into the house, and had these few pills. They were all gone, and so Gene had to push them, and they had to get up in the middle of the night to get out of there. So anyway, what actually happened, I run out of pills and had a new prescription, so Jean went to pick them up, and so she had them sitting on the table there, and she said, you better take one of these. Well, I said, I don't really know about that. I said, we serve a great God.
Mm.
And I was having my devotions the next morning, and I said, God, you know all about this body. You created it. I'm your child. So I never took no more pills, and so the next morning I got out of bed, and by noon I was walking all over the place.
Oh, wow.
Doing some exercises and doing some work outside. But we do serve a wonderful God.
Definitely. Amen. That's good. Anyone else? Before I go. Hey, man, I'm all good. When speaking what God's doing, he can have the stage, man, all the time. Well, now I guess I'm going to speak a little bit if there's no one else. But thank you guys for sharing. I mean, I'm hoping Dan and Judy, we can kind of catch this going a little bit, and we can talk about testimonies every Sunday, because I believe God's moving every day, so there's always going to be a story. But I'm going to continue on the idea of renewal. And if you guys want to turn with me to the book of John, and it's John chapter 5. And this may be a little bit of a direction change from what I initially had planned with the idea. It's still along the idea of renewal, but it might be a little bit different. So John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. And the story is about a man who was lame. He could not walk, and I'm just going to paraphrase. No, actually, no, I'm going to read it. I don't want to paraphrase it. I'm going to read it for you guys. So John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9, it says, after these things there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, Oh, I have double-sided. That's why I looked really weird. Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Amazing stuff right there. Testimony in itself. All right, how many of you guys know where I'm going with this? That's right. Dumb questions. I'm going to talk about dumb questions. How many of you guys have ever experienced a dumb or silly question? I mean, we're going to exclude kids because kids are always wanting to... I know, right? Oh, come on. They're always learning, they're always asking questions, and you kind of can't blame them because they don't know as much as you. But how many of you guys have ever encountered an adult who would ask you a silly or a question and goes, really? Common sense would say not that kind of thing. We do it all the time. I think I ask Elisa some really weird questions. Thanks a lot. So I have before you, if this screen is ready to go, I have a few questions I want to show you guys that I found on the internet. Of course, the internet is full of weird and crazy things. So if John is ready, if this works. The first question it has, are there any autographs of Jesus Christ? I know there are autographs of Babe Ruth and John Lennon and George Washington. Are there any autographs of Jesus Christ that are either on eBay or in people's houses? I mean, possibility, you never know. You know, on the wall somewhere, you might find Jesus somewhere. All right, the next one. Are there birds in Canada? I'm thinking of visiting and might bring my camera, so I'm curious to know if they have any birds. I know they have moose, you know, therefore, who knows? All right, the next one. Why does my cat vibrate? Her chest always vibrates like she has worms or something in her. Is it normal? When she vibrates, she makes a tiny vibrate noise, and it's scaring me because it doesn't seem normal. I don't want to tell you, man. Watch out for the cat. He's going to explode. All right. What happens if you paint your teeth with white nail polish? My cousin always does this, and her teeth are really white. Is this bad for you? I'll keep trying and see what happens. How to turn on your computer monitor into a mirror? Hi, does anyone know if it's possible to use a background that could essentially turn my computer monitor into a mirror? Scanning a mirror doesn't work. Well, at least you tried, you know? Do you think humans will ever walk on the sun? I was just thinking and thought how crazy it was that a person walked on the moon and Mars. Well, not Mars yet. It was just wondering if you think a person will ever be able to walk on the sun. I know it's really hot, but I'm thinking if you go in the winter when the sun is like 30 degrees colder, I wonder if you could do it. Yeah, go ahead, try it. It's like having a screen door on a submarine, right? Do you think NASA invented thunderstorms to cover up the sound of space battles? Okay, I'm pretty sure I've probably asked this, right? It's NASA's fault. All right, next one. Are skeletons real or made up? My friend's mom says she was once chased by a skeleton, but I don't think skeletons are real. Please help me. Okay, I don't know what's holding you together, man, but not a skeleton. All right, if Batman's parents died, then how was he born? It doesn't make sense how died parents can have children. Did they think this through? They did. Maybe you didn't. All right. And, of course, this is my favorite one. It goes along with horror movies. I get frustrated with horror movies because they do the most ridiculous stuff, like run into a place that's scary or abandoned when you could run to, like, you know, a sunny spa or something. But question is, I love how in scary movies the person yells out, hello, as if the killer is going to be like, yeah, I'm in the kitchen. Want a sandwich? Silly questions like that. I mean, we've all experienced it. Maybe we are on the end where we have asked those questions. And so I'm going to go back to John chapter 5. This is all going to make sense, by the way. It wasn't just a humor thing. The first thing, why is the pool Bethesda an important part? It is interesting that in Hebrew, the name Bethesda has two meanings, good and bad. The first part, of course, is good. And so Bethesda translates to the house of mercy or house of grace. So it's almost fitting that, you know, Jesus goes there to heal someone. But the second meaning is not so nice. It means shame or disgrace. But, I mean, it also kind of fits for the fact that people who were considered unclean or diseased were in the same area. So both names, it fits. So the myth of Bethesda is that, as it was said in John chapter 5, was that an angel would come down, stir the water, and the first one in would be healed. From an archaeological point of view, there were two streams that would meet and cause the bubbling and the pushing of water, so that's when it would stir. But also minerals would be pushed up, and so it would seem more of a red color coming out. So when the water changes color, you think, oh, something new is happening. So that's the myth. They think an angel will come down and stir the water, and you'd be healed. So this feels like a perfect place for Jesus to enter. One, people thought an angel would heal, and two, is a place where people wanted to be healed, but also a place of disgrace where people were considered unclean. So Jesus enters the scene, a place full of people wanting to be healed and dashing into the water whenever it bubbled. But he goes to one specific man, a man who was lame for 38 years. 38 years is a long time. I'm not even 38, so my lifetime plus, that's a long time. And this man would sit by the water wanting to be healed. So Jesus then opens his mouth and asks a question that some of us, if we were there and did not know the entire story, would utter the words, "That's a dumb question." He asks, "Do you wish to get well?" Dumb question. I mean, but I don't want to say Jesus is asking a dumb question because that seems really bad when you say, "That's dumb." But if you put the shoes, your face in the shoes of the person who was lame for 38 years and he goes, "Hey, do you want to get well?" He's like, "No, nah, man, I'm good. I actually can walk. You know, I just come sit out here to pick up the ladies because this is where they all come. And, you know, I tie, you know, my legs down so I can't use them. And my friends pick me up, drop me off, and then pick me up at the end of the day." It's like, yeah, I don't want to get healed. It's like, of course I want to be healed. Why do you think I'm here? Why do you think I'm trusting that a myth, that an angel stirs the water, will heal me? I wonder how many times he saw people get into the water and if they actually were healed or not. But yet, people still did it because there was a glimmer of hope. So we know that Jesus is God in flesh, and when he walks into the pool area, he knows the circumstances. And they're all pretty clear to him. He knows what this man has gone through. And so you begin to understand that his question to the man was not as obvious as maybe we began to take it at first. I think Jesus was talking about something not so obvious, something that wasn't on the surface. God doesn't ask questions because he lacks the information. He asks the questions so we can have a better understanding. So we're going to unpack this question, the whole idea of, do you wish to get well? We can move into a different light, that what if Jesus was digging deeper into the question? So instead of asking, do you wish to be well, he was asking, do you really want things to change in your life? Are you ready to leave behind all of the excuses? Can you handle the responsibilities that will become a regular part of your life now that things have changed? When we as people ask to be renewed, God, renew me in a way that I pray or read my Bible or the way that I see the world, you have to be ready and willing to see what will be revealed to you. You're actually going to have to want to be renewed. It's not just a half job prayer. It's not like, oh, well, if you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. I mean, God's like, do you really want it or not? And so he asks Carson, do you want to be healed? So God, I think, will answer what you ask for, but you have to be prepared for it. So, I mean, if we can use the classic example of the opportunities, how many of you guys ever prayed, God, give me patience, or God, give me opportunity to be kind to someone else? Probably two really big ones. And then God, you know, the next day, you're stuck in traffic for an hour or so. And you're like, oh, this is ridiculous. And you're freaking out. And then God's like, hey, you asked for it. And it's like, oh, I asked for patience. Oh. Or maybe the person you don't really like, you know, is having a rough day. And you're like, ah, good for you. I'm so glad you're having a bad time. And God's like, hey, this is an opportunity to show kindness to that person. You prayed for it. Are you willing to accept what God's going to put you through when you ask for it? So being healed changes everything. I mean, as we read the end of John, the end of the verses of chapter 9, he took his pallet and he walked. It changed his life. He was no longer having to sit by a pool and hoping for something to happen. Sometimes our healing comes with a price tag. I'm not saying that it's a barter system with God saying, hey, God, if you heal me, I'll be in church every Sunday. I won't miss it. And I'll volunteer for all the opportunities for ministry. I'll do all this great stuff if you just answer my prayer. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it will change your way you view life. And when you no longer have something hindering you from accomplishing what God wants for you, you'll begin to do things you never did. So the question then becomes, are you willing to pay a cost? I think that's what Jesus was asking the man. Are you willing to pay a cost? Are you willing to start doing things for me? Are you willing to go out and show what I have done? Because I know if you read further in John chapter 5, the Pharisees actually go, hey, what are you doing carrying up your mat or your pallet on the Sabbath? You know, that's wrong. And he's like, but I'm healed, hallelujah. And they're mad at him. So the start of it is like, really, are you going to be ashamed of what I've done, or are you going to glorify me and what I've done? Often I wonder if we want to be healed but aren't ready for the change that it brings. And I'm not really necessarily talking about the whole healing factor of this. I'm not talking about, you know, praying for healing of your body. I'm not really jumping on that. It's kind of everything else. It's like, God, I want you to move in my life. I want to be able to say some really great testimonies. But then God turns around and goes, I gave you the opportunity for me to show you, and you said no. You made an excuse. So then what if we put it into this contest? Do you really want the responsibility of a promotion, or is it more comfortable to complain about your current workload and money situation? Are you ready for the sacrifice of being in a community or starting a relationship, or are you used to the self-pity of being alone? Do you like complaining more, or do you like the change? Are you willing to change your lifestyle habits, or will it be too much energy to quit your unhealthy routines? Routines you're used to. Why would you want to change it? Do you really want to forgive that person and move on, or is it easier to distance yourself from the pain that you want, that they once caused you, and then you can have a really awesome pity party? So then, have you guys ever heard of the stink pile analogy? I use this with the youth, actually. That's why you know. That's why you know it. It gets around. The stink pile analogy is that we pray to God to forgive us from our sins and pray to God to change us and make us new. And as we travel through life with him, he does this. But there are certain things in our life that we like to bring up time after time after time, even though God has said, I forgive you, let it go. And you're like, yeah, I'm free. But then when certain times come up, you like to, okay, this seems really weird, but you pick up your stink pile. I don't know what your stink pile looks like. It'd be like a load of dirty laundry. Have you guys ever seen the movie Jurassic Park? Okay, if you guys know where I'm going with that. Anyways, whatever it is, you like to pick it up and you like to go, yeah, God has forgiven me, but remember when this happened to me, and you like to show it off. How many of you guys would show off your stink pile? Like a real life stink pile, like your dirty clothes and whatever, whatnot. We'd be like, hey guys, look at my stink pile, this is great. But really, people are like, I don't want to see that. But we like to show it. We like to go, God has forgiven me, but woe is me for all the stuff that has happened to me. Pity me, love on me for everything that God has forgiven me for. Ugh. And you just hold it in front when God has said, I've cleaned your stink pile, let it go. I think that's sometimes where we get stuck, is that we want to be renewed, but we like sometimes the attention that we get when we're like, but this happened to me. Pity me. Look at my stink pile. And then it's funny when someone, you know, maybe you've told them, I prayed to God and he forgave me or he helped me through the situation, and then you bring up your stink pile, and they're like, hey, didn't you pray for forgiveness or ask for a release on that? And then they get mad at you for bringing it up, saying, hey, you shouldn't bring up your stink pile. Anyways, I think that's where human beings, we get stuck with the whole idea of renewal. We're so used to it. We're so used to a routine. We're so used to our past and stuff like that, that we don't want to see what God can do sometimes, or we're too afraid to see what God is going to do because we're stuck in a routine. Last week I talked about ruts and everything and how it's so easy to get stuck in a rut, but we miss what God is doing because we're in that rut. That's the whole thing with renewal. I think we get stuck, and then we're like, we're so comfortable, we're okay, and we think God's moving, but maybe he's like, I want you out of the rut, but you don't want to move. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 to 19 says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Will you not be aware of it? renew. We always talk about being a new creation, you know, or putting our old self to death and being new in God, but are we really wanting to be renewed to a creation in Christ, or do we like where we are? It's a tough situation. It's a tough topic because I think, I mean, this whole thing, I can speak on my life and not wanting to move forward with what God wants because I'm comfortable and I'm scared of what he's going to ask me to do. But yet I want to see God move, but I don't want to do it. So it's like, you got to pick one or the other. So to be fully renewed, yeah, we can change the way we look at our Bible and read the context and the historical part of it and really read what God is doing and know that it's living word. And we can pray and get out of the rut, and we can pray and go, God, I just want a more personal relationship with you. I want to be able to pray where I'm talking to an intimate God and not just someone who I think is there. Or I can say testimonies that maybe I had years ago, but I can't seem to think where God is going now. It's like, do you want to stay there, or do you want to see something new? And that's what the man wanted. He could have said, yeah, I want to be healed, but just drag me into the pool. Drag me when it bubbles in, and bam, I'll be healed. But he said, yes, I want to be healed. And Jesus healed him. And I think he was more excited about being healed than he did thinking about what could have happened. He jumped on the opportunity to be renewed. So Jesus said the simple sentence, get up, pick your pallet, and go. And I think it'd be super amazing to see something like that, see someone be physically healed like that, because what a testament and what a building of your faith it could be. But I think we start with the smaller things to be renewed. An attitude towards someone, the way you have a view on maybe the church or something like that. It can start smaller, and that's what I talk about testimony as being a pebble. It starts small. So I think that's said, that's it. Do you want to be renewed? Jesus asked, do you want to be healed? He's asking, do you want to be renewed? And I think you need to answer that quickly. You need to get on it quickly, because the more you think about it, the more time that Satan has to get into your mind and go, but you're comfortable. But you're okay where you're at. Who says you're doing anything bad? Who needs renewal when you're perfectly fine? So that's the question. That's up to you. Do you want to be renewed? So we're going to close with prayer, and I mean, if you need prayer, we're more than willing to pray with you guys. But if not, enjoy your Sunday. So, Lord, thank you that you never leave us, Lord. Thank you that you are victorious. Thank you that you are the amazing, awesome, glorious God that we read about in the Bible, but yet you portray yourself and show us even today, Lord, and that just gives us so much encouragement. And Lord, thank you that you meet our needs. Thank you that when we pray, you listen, Lord, and in your timing and in your way, you make it happen, Lord. And I pray for us as we go through our daily walk with you that we seek after you wholeheartedly and not just out of routine or out of just something that we do, but that we seek after you for renewal for our lives, Lord, that we can become more Christ-like. That's what Paul was striving for. Paul was trying to be more Christ-like, Lord. And I'm not comparing us to Paul, but that's what we need to do. We need to strive to become more Christ-like. And Lord, when we become more Christ-like, the less fear we have to show you to everyone else, Lord, and show how amazing you are. So Lord, thank you that you're renewing us, and I just pray that we listen. And Lord, as we go out these doors, that it doesn't end church. We fellowship, we meet people, Lord. It may be a blessing on whoever we meet, and give us just an amazing time relaxing and preparing us for the following week, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.